T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Whose music lives on and will continue to live on. Some call him the Mozart of our day. I mean, do I think they'll be playing Prince hundreds of years from now? I hope so. I think so. And yet, the arc of progress marches on. Prince had, he owned a 188-acre site. He had a three-story yellow home in Chanhassen on Lake Ann. And many of you know exactly where that is. And the Chanhassen City Council voted 5-0 unanimously earlier this week for a plan that includes 169 lots on that 188-acre site. This is through a company called Lennar Corporation. Also, the plan sets aside 57 acres as undeveloped woods and wetlands along the lakes, according to Chanhassen City Manager Todd Gerhardt. I have a soft spot in my heart for Chanhassen, spent a lot of time in Chan, and love the community, love the people down there, and grateful that Todd Gerhardt was able to join us from Chanhassen. Todd, are you there? Nope. Oh, he's not there. All right. Anyway, before Todd joins us, why don't we get some of your feedback here? 651-989-9226. Yeah, of course, cities want a growing tax base. And most cities are pretty responsible, right? They want to develop responsibly, hopefully protecting wetlands, protecting our lakes, our jewels. Of course, we want to protect our lakes. But, you know, if it was anybody else other than Prince, this one had me scratching my head just a little bit. Initially, Lennar Corporation proposed building 181 homes, and that was turned into 169 homes. So not as many homes on that parcel, 188-acre tract of land between Galpin Boulevard and the shores of Lake Ann and Lucy. So beautiful stretch. Many of you familiar with that. Just curious, what do you think about that? Judy in St. Paul, do you have an opinion?
Yeah, I do. I guess, you know what? I've lived down in the Twin Cities. I'm from northern Minnesota for 30 years now. And you just look at the urban sprawl that's gone on in that time. And you know what? It's like we feel the need to develop every piece of wooded or every piece of area that, you know, that is wild. And then we wonder why, you know, we get hit or we hit deer and the coyotes are coming in. We continue to encroach. And I think that sprawl has just got to stop.
How do you do that, though, Judy? I understand the sentiment.
I mean, you know, look at there are places that could be redeveloped just within the cities. And I don't know. It's not that our population is getting that much bigger. I think we like bigger homes. We like bigger lots. And it just, but it's, I don't know. It's just got to stop. And then you think of our lakes and, you know, our rivers and lakes and streams in Minnesota aren't as pristine as they really should be. And that's got to stop too. We think that, you know, we can own the lakes and the streams and the rivers, and really we shouldn't be.
Well, everybody wants anyway. A piece of that, right? Everybody wants a little slice of heaven. So I understand the sentiment. I also understand, you know, the notion that let's leave things. Nobody likes change, right? People talk mm-hmm. to me about how it was back in the 1950s before Ridgedale was developed, and that was all open and gorgeous. And so I really struggle with this. I mean, people have to live somewhere. Not everybody wants to live downtown. And a lot of people want the privacy. They love the whole idea of the suburbs, having a slice of land. But, you know, if you do that responsibly and treat our lakes and our wetlands and our ponds as the amazing, irreplaceable resources they are, I think there's a place for responsible development. But this one, I don't know, it makes me itch a little bit.
It does, yeah. Yep, I agree. So, well, anyways, that's my 2 cents worth, and I hope that we all can, you know, just take care of this environment that we have, because it's in trouble.
Thank you, Judy. I appreciate the call, and
yep,
and I share your sentiments. I mean, the whole.
I know you do. I love listening to you.
Thank you, thank you. Well, you know, we've got something special in Minnesota, and we want to preserve this Minnesota magic. You know,
I mean. I agree.
My friends come from other parts of the country, and they come here and they can't believe how amazing it is here, and they don't want to leave. We have to push them out of the door of the cabin.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to make sure that my future grandkids and their grandkids, you know, have that same quality of life, the same attention to detail when it comes to nature that we've been able to enjoy. So thank you, Judy. I appreciate the call very much, ma'am.
Yep. Thanks.
You bet. And by the way, in defense of Chanhassen, they did have a public hearing last week, an overflow public hearing. Some residents praised the plan for preserving the park area for trails and wildlife. My assumption, I don't know this for a fact, I was going to ask Todd Gerhardt, Chanhassen City Manager. Todd has not called in. Is he hiding? Can we find Todd? Todd, call us. Anyway, some of the residents praised the plan. Others worried that the subdivision, the new development, would create problems with traffic, pedestrian safety, water runoff, ruin the views from their homes. Of course, it's the proverbial story. You want to close the barn door and not let anybody else in, right? You want to keep it the way it is. And it's not a final approval, from what I understand. It's just basically another step in the process. But I wonder what Prince would make of this if he was alive. I can't in a million years believe that, A, he would have sold the land. So I understand things change, and his passing means that it's a new scenario. In agreeing to sell this property, Prince's heirs requested that the development not be associated with Prince. They're not going to call it Prince Land or paint all the houses purple. Story in the Star Tribune. But eventually, it might be appropriate to place a memorial in the wooded area to its former owner. How can you not memorialize the guy? David Channon is a reporter for the Star Tribune. If you get a chance, go online to Star Tribune and read the story for yourself. Again, I think, in fairness, Chanhassen is trying to do it the right way. In a perfect world, could you leave that land empty and turn it all into a park? Yeah, in a perfect world, but it's not a perfect world. And Prince's estate, I think, again, I don't have all the details, but a chunk of land, 188 acres on a beautiful lake in a relatively close in southwestern suburb. Yeah, odds are that's going to get sold. So, oh boy, not in my backyard. Don't have kids, Paul. There are 8 billion people in the world and more will come. People have to remember, this is the text line, people also have to remember there's a large group of people who want to or would like to live by a lake. They like the little parcels of the woods and the lake scenery. This parcel in Chan is a perfect example of that. People get all bent out of shape about humans encroaching into animals' territory. People were out on this earth. Last time I heard, we were at the top of the food chain. We need space, too. So trying to find that balance, right? I'm glad they're putting a park in. And my assumption, my hope, I think it's a public park. If everybody has access to this park, that helps me wrap my brain around this a little bit more. So we'll see. It's not a final green light for the developers, but they can basically continue to proceed on this plan. Hey, coming up at 5:35, Senator Paul Gazelka joins us to talk about healthcare reinsurance plans. And I want to give him an argument, a chance to make the argument for why this is the best way forward and the best chance to lower healthcare premiums. We all want to pay less for healthcare without the quality of that care diminishing. So we want to give him a chance to speak his mind and make the case. And we'll also reach out, of course, to Governor Walz to get his input on this important subject, too. That's coming up next on CCO. Paul here talking about the proposed development in Chanhassen. Todd Gerhardt is Chanhassen City Manager. Hey, Todd, thank you for calling in. Happy to hear from you, sir.
You too, Paul.
Tell our listeners a little bit more. I realize this is a little radioactive, and you'd probably rather not talk about it, but can you just give us kind of a high level of how this came to be and the steps that Chanhassen is taking to protect the environment and allow people to create homes there responsibly? What is your approach to this?
Well, you got a couple of things going on. I think everybody understands that Prince passed away without a will.
Right.
And then they, without a will, then it goes into probate. And when it goes into probate, they select an executor of the estate. First it was Bremer Bank, and now it's CoAmerica. And CoAmerica coordinates with the judge about liquidating his assets. And Prince's primary home sat on 191 acres. And as a part of that, the judge told CoAmerica to solicit bids, take quotes for selling the property, and to liquidate that asset. And so Lennar was selected as the developer. Mm-hmm. And in our comp plan, we called for preserving roughly 50 acres between Lake Lucie and Lake Ann, and with the ultimate goal of having a trail all the way around Lake Ann. And as a part of this development, there's wetlands, there's road right of way, so the net developable area that is being dedicated for public park is 50 acres. And then you got 2.4 acres dedicated for road right-of-way. So that leaves, there's also 49 acres of wetlands that will not be touched.
Okay.
So you have roughly, you know, almost 100 acres of the 191 being left alone.
What's the timetable for this, Todd? And is this not a final approval for Lennar to move forward with actual construction, right?
Correct. What was done on Monday night is the city council approved the preliminary plat and the rezoning to a plan unit development. So what we did is we took a certain number of units that went in where the 50-acre dedicated park is, took whatever lots that would have been developed in there and transferred them over onto the remaining 89 acres. And what that did is allowed the city to acquire that 50 acres as a part of the moving those lots over onto the 89 acres. We call it a density transfer.
Right, okay. And best case scenario, when would ground be broken? I mean, when would we start to see homes going up out there?
Well, I would say, you know, the next step in the process is what's called the final plat, and the city council would approve the grading plan as a part of that. So this is where you have a contract between the city and Lennar, and then we know exactly how each of the lots will be graded, where all the sewer and water lines will go. We also wanted a public parking lot so the public could access the 50 acres from the west and not have to go to Lake Ann. So Lake Ann would cover the easterly part of the trail. And then the parking lot within this development would allow people to walk into the woods and access trails in that area. So I'm saying you would see dirt being moved or graded within 3 to 4 months.
Oh, 3 to 4 months. Okay. Hey, Todd, thank you. Again, I meant what I said. I've got a soft spot in my heart for Chanhassen. Love the town, and I know you want responsible development. You're never going to please all the people all the time, but I hope you'll do it right. It sure sounds like you're doing it, trying to do it right. So, Todd Gerhardt, Chanhassen City Manager, thank you for calling in, sir.
You're welcome.
All right. But not
Take
everybody.
Care.
Thank you, Todd. Lisa in Minneapolis, what do you think of all this?
Well, my personal opinion is, given what Prince went through with his own drug addiction, how about we start thinking what he would want? And I think he would want people with this type of addiction, any type of CD addiction, would want them to build a medical facility for them. And so I think that's what needs to be done versus another city park or another park at, for that matter. I just really believe that Prince would want to help and give back from his own addiction experience.
That's a good point. So build a rehab center on those 188 acres. In a perfect world, yes. Lisa, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, well, I just think we got enough parks, and we need to start thinking about what maybe Prince would want done with the land, too.
Yeah. I wish he had a will.
Yeah.
And then
well,
he could have.
A lot of us don't, though, and that's the problem.
I know. Hey, Lisa, thank you for calling in.
Yep, thank you.
You bet. When we come back, Senator Paul Gazelka talking about health care. How do we lower health care costs, prescription costs, but especially health care costs, which continue to ratchet upward with every passing year? He has some ideas. We hear from Senator Gazelka next. Twins fever is building. CCO giving you a chance to win tickets to the home opener on March 28th. All day Thursday with Dave Lee, Corey Heppala, Chad, and me. Jordana would be here, too, but she's busy hanging out down at the beach somewhere in Puerto Rico. She'll be back on Friday, though. Hey, listen all day to CCO for your chance to win. Plus, all day Thursday, you can register for a chance to win online at WCCORadio.com/contest. If you don't win this week, you'll have chances all next week with Henry Lake, too. Get your tickets for the Twins in Cleveland opening day. March 28th, 3:10, right here on CCO. The first 30,000 fans receive a Twins puffer vest, courtesy of your local Northland Ford dealers. You can get tickets at twinsbaseball.com/tickets. Looking forward to talking more about the Twins. Okay, healthcare gives me a headache. Trying to understand healthcare, it seems like it's a moving target, and nobody can quite get their arms around it. The Republican-controlled Minnesota Senate earlier this week voted to extend a state program aimed at curbing health care premiums for residents who purchase their plans through the individual market. The reinsurance program, launched in 2017, uses a combination of state and federal funds to offset health insurer costs for covering plan participants with high medical bills. According to the Star Tribune, the reporter Tori Van Oot, who wrote this story, it has been credited with helping lower premium prices for roughly 155,000 residents who buy insurance on their own. And with us to talk about reinsurance is Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka. Hey, Paul, welcome.
Hey, Paul, good to talk to you.
Please, let's step back, and can you talk a little bit about reinsurance? Give us a primer on what it is. And in your words, it's been working, right?
Yeah, for sure. And you have to go back a few years when Obamacare kicked in and it disrupted everything we were doing in Minnesota. It basically forced all of the people off of our high-risk plan. It was called MSHA. People that were uninsurable could get insurance through that. That was where Minnesota led the way among many areas. And it combined those people, something like 23,000 people, with the rest of the individual market, your farmers, your small business owners. And as a result of that, those people that were in the individual market suddenly had to pay dramatically higher rates because they were combined with people that had much higher medical risks. And so the rates were going up off the charts. And it was a result of what happened with Obamacare and Minnesota having to adjust to that. So myself and the Governor Dayton at the time worked out an agreement that we would do reinsurance. He didn't sign the bill, but he let it become law and then later said it worked. And even Senator Amy Klobuchar has said it worked. And so what it did, though, is in addition to what I just mentioned, we had a number of companies that were talking about not even being in all 87 counties. In other words, there would have been no access for people in parts of the state, and other companies not sure they even wanted to be in Minnesota. So the second thing it did was to stabilize the market, and it worked. We had providers then that ended up being in all 87 counties. Nobody left. And in the end, rates went down more than what we thought. And so this program was really only a kind of a stopgap for 2 years. But the bill basically extended the ability to do it for 3 more years. That was what was allowed under the federal agreement that we had. And so no more money is going into it because we saved more than we thought we would. But it gets extended out 5 years, which means we have more predictability about what those folks are going to pay.
Well, Senator, I saw this in the two companies I'm involved with in Eden Prairie, two weather tech companies. Our health care costs went up significantly, so we took it on the chin. I'm curious, extending this reinsurance program, what we have today, for 3 years down the road would not require any additional state funding. Is that correct?
That is correct, because the money that we agreed to put into it with the federal government also helping, it turned out that we didn't need as much as we thought we needed. And so we didn't use it all up, and we can actually just extend it out another 3 years and bring that stability while we figure out what else we want to do. I mean, this, frankly, is a stopgap. I don't know if Obamacare will continue as is. A lot of people want a government-run health care in Minnesota. I think that's a mistake. I think the steps we took with Obamacare should give people a heads up that it doesn't go as well as you hope. But regardless, we have to find more solutions, and that is another area that we are working on in the Senate, Minnesota Senate, is how do we drive down the cost of care and make more access for folks. So access, affordability are two of the things we're looking at, and we have a number of proposals that we're working on that my hope is over the next few years we actually implement and Minnesota can lead the way again in health care.
But it seems that Democrats and specifically Governor Walz think that this might be something of a giveaway to health insurance companies, and that insurers haven't done enough to contain costs themselves. So, I mean, is this a blank check for health insurance companies?
No, I mean they're held accountable for the money that they spend, and the fact, frankly, that it was less expensive than we thought is points to the fact that they weren't wasting the money, that it actually did work the way we wanted it to do. And the governor did have another proposal. He was proposing a former rebate plan, but in the end, that program cost more money to administer, and actually individuals that would have participated in that would have actually got less. So you pay more, get less, and so we said that's not the direction. But we still have to look down towards the future. If we go to what the governor's proposing, where we have, I used to call it Minnesota Care for All, now it's a different name, But that is a solution that doesn't work because the hospitals and doctors that would receive payments under that, the reimbursement rates are below what they take to make a profit. And so in my area, I talked to doctors and hospitals, and they said, we're not going to be here. It isn't worth it for us to do it. And so that points to access. We want to make sure people have the care that they want. So regardless of whether we want public care or private, we still have to focus on how do we drive down costs. And so we're looking at a number of things. One of them, just an example, is the Patient's Right to Shop Act. And that basically said if your plan is directing you to a certain place for a surgery, and let's just say it costs $50,000, and you shop around and you find another place that will do it for $30,000, you get to keep some of the savings. And so we want to encourage people to make it more of a product that you shop for, like everything else that we do. And when you do that, it tends to drive down the prices.
Because, again, I've been weaned on the idea, and I think there's some merit to this, some truth to this, that the more competition there is out there, costs do come down. So how do you inject more competition? Everybody wants great care. You want to keep your doctor. You want access to the best quality care. I get that. But how do we inject more competition into this system? Every other business on earth, you have more competitors, prices come down, choices go up. People like choices. Why doesn't that work with healthcare?
Well, it should work more. I mean, a part of it, I think, is there's more regulations. It is more difficult to navigate. I'm certainly willing to look at a bunch of different areas related to it on how we can work on driving down the costs and increasing competition. We did, I believe, 2 years ago, allowed HMOs to come in if they wanted to be for-profit HMOs. I'm not sure if that brought anybody in, but the goal was more competition. Mm-hmm. And the reinsurance, by stabilizing the market, we did have more people stay than if we hadn't had that. So that was a step in that direction. But also, how do we connect the patient to the doctor more? In other words, they don't have to be a middleman insurance company in the way. So one of the bills we're working on is direct primary care, that you can form relationships with the doctor, that a lot of your regular routine care can be done outside of an insurance plan, and then you can take a higher deductible plan if you have serious illnesses. So point is, we've got two doctors that are senators, which is great. One's a Republican, one's a Democrat. I'm asking them, help us find ways to drive down the cost and let Minnesota be a leader in health insurance and health industry again, like we were two decades ago.
Senator Gazelka, is there any opportunity for common ground? Do you see anything that you agree with the governor on this point today?
Well, not on the government-run health care versus private care. It's just two fundamentally different directions. But I'm telling everybody, whether we have public or private, we all know that we have to drop down the cost of care. And so hospital billing transparency, making sure that, the prices are posted so people know, how much they're paying. We're working on something related to pharmacy benefit manager regulations. There's middle people that drive up the cost that we're trying to figure out how do we control. And so some of those areas that deal with controlling costs, I think we'll find agreement, and that'll be a good first step.
I think there's bipartisan agreement. Everybody I talk to, either side of the aisle, if you're in the middle, everybody wants to pay less, especially prescription drugs, where the prices are just wackadoodle. And
yep. That's an agreement area. How do we control the costs and not kill the free market part of that? And I think we can find it. I am confident we've got a good mix of senators, Republicans and Democrats. I think the governor's willing to work. And so that creates the opportunity to find some solutions.
We want to pay less, but we want to maintain that quality, right? I get a little nervous going to the lowest bidder, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point. I mean, in America, we have some of the best health care in the entire world, and we all demand the latest, greatest changes and updates of care, and that's going to cost more. But I'm willing to pay for that. I don't want to suddenly limit everybody's care. That would be the direction that I don't want to go.
All right, Senator, Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka, thank you for helping us walk through this. We're going to have as many voices and ideas as we can here on CCO. So we've invited Governor Walz to come on and paint his vision. But I wanted to give you every opportunity to explain where you'd like to go. And we hope to have you on frequently.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, certainly the government-run program, if they limit reimbursement rates, give that same opportunity to the private sector that they don't have to pay as much, and they'll be competitive too. And so that's my rub there. But Governor Walz is good to work with, and I think you'll enjoy talking to him.
I hope you find some common ground.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Paul Gazelka, thank you, sir. Tomorrow we talk clean energy. The governor's vision, carbon neutral by 2050, XL's vision, but how do we do it without raising costs for consumers? In the meantime, Twins Fever building, CCO giving you a chance to win tickets to the Twins home opener all day Thursday. Listen all day for a chance to win. And if you don't win this week, you'll have another chance all next week with Henry Lake, too. And this is cool. For the Twins opener on the 28th, first 30,000 fans getting a Twins puffer vest, courtesy of your local Northland Ford dealers. Get tickets at twinsbaseball.com/tickets. The Hot Stove Show is up next. Everything Twins. Thanks for tuning in today. Make it a great evening. Be careful out there, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.